It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a joy it is to be able to share with you the Word of God. And that's what we're going to do today. We're looking in the New Testament, and we're getting somewhat of a bird's eye view. In other words, once again, we're not going into each book and expositorily preach from these books, but what I like to do is give you somewhat of an overview of each book of the Bible. Well, once again, today we're going to be looking into the book of Philippians. Now, Paul the Apostle is recognized as the author with Timothy as his helper. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul and Timotheus. Well, this is Timothy. And it goes on to say, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Well, Paul's writing to the whole church here, and the date would have been around 62 AD. Well, the setting is this. While Paul is in prison, the Philippian Christians are concerned for him. So he provides some comfort to them through his letter. Now, these people were concerned for him, and he had led many of them to the Lord, and he wanted them to be comforted. Well, the key verses here, I believe, in chapter 1 and verse 27, chapter 2, verses 5 and 8, and verse 27 of chapter 1, where it says, only let your conversation, in other words, your behavior, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. See, it's often said that a man's character is measured by what he does in private, with no one looking around. But you know, God's always looking. And Paul the Apostle says here, your behavior needs to be at all times as one that becometh the gospel of Christ. Well, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 8 say this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The purpose of the book, and there are several things we can look at here, but I believe first it was to encourage those in the Philippian church to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, and that is to live in, if you would, live as an imitation of Christ, as seen in the gospel. As Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 once again says, only let your conversation, once again, or behavior, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Well, then we understand that these Philippians were to conduct themselves in a manner of conduct worthy of Christ. We read some of that now, and once again, we keep reading, and it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, now, Paul's saying, he's not saying here that we need to puff ourselves up and think that we are God or that we are Jesus Christ, but we are to be imitators of the Lord. And it says in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And this is Christ, of course, and went to the cross. And we should understand that Christ died once. He died on the cross, and he doesn't ask us to die on the cross. We need to be willing to die for him, and there are some who are dying for the Lord, but he says that we need to be obedient even to the death of the cross. Some are dying, and even if he would ask us to die, then we should be willing to do that. We need to be obedient to God today. He's not asking more of us than he puts within us. In other words, he's going to give us what we need to accomplish what he would ask us to do. Well, Christ's manner, as we look, is also seen revealed in Paul, according to Philippians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Well, he says here that God is going to perform whatever he's giving and given you to do. Verse 7 goes on to say, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." Paul had a great burden for these people. He wanted them to prosper in the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." You see, he was comforting these people. Well, Christ's manner is also seen revealed in Timothy. Now, you can read about that in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. Christ's manner is seen revealed in Epaphroditus. Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 30. And once again, Christ's manner is also revealed in them, the Philippians, in the past, according to Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Well, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." In other words, be obedient to God, not to be saved, but because you are saved. Well, note the enemies of Christ contrasted and warned of in Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. It says, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God." Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision," in other words, or the circumcision, those people who would try to tell you you're saved by keeping the law. Don't listen to them. Well, the application for the book is this: have the right mindset of standing fast in one spirit and striving for the faith of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 28 says, "Only let your conversation," remember again now this means behavior, and it goes on to say, "be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." We need to strive for the faith of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are always to seek unity. Now, I remind you, he's not only writing this under the inspiration of God to the Philippian believers, but he's writing this to you and me today. We're always to seek unity. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." You see, we need to help one another in the church today, and our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be in unity. We need to be working together. Well, the right mindset is also forsaking our dependence on self and its glory and stretching toward the goal in Christ. We need to glorify God. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, where it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," well, that means you're saved, "be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Paul says he had not reached the end of his journey, but he's forgetting those things which are behind, for those mistakes that have been made and those successes. He's forgetting all of that. He's striving for the mastery. He's looking for the future, and he wants to serve God today and in the future. That's the way we need to be. We need to understand that we've not reached the end of our journey yet, but we're here to serve God and bring honor and glory to His Son, Jesus Christ. We're also to have the right mindset and thinking on positive things, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." In other words, think upon the things, once again, that help our minds to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But we also need to have the right actions. Always abounding in love, according to Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Now, we need to seek to proclaim Christ in any situation, according to Philippians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 18. We need to have the right attitude. And that right attitude is to imitate Christ in His worthy life. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, once again, and we keep coming up on this verse. It says, "Only let your conversation," or behavior, once again it means, "be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Well, this is hard sometimes. We need to do all things without complaining. That's very hard to do sometimes. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." As we think of this, we're always to rejoice as well. Philippians chapter 2, verse 18 says, "For the same cause also do ye joy, and rejoice with me." And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." Well, we're to put our confidence in Christ. And we need to understand that God is our helper. He will complete good works in us, those works that He has started, according to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He works in us, and when we think of this verse, He works in us both to will and to work. God gives us righteousness through Jesus. He is able to raise us up and give us a new body, according to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." We have the promise of God today that one day we're going to be changed. We're going to be fashioned like Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be God. That simply means that because Jesus died, He gave His life on the cross of Calvary, that you and I one day could be like Him. And that's in the sense we have eternal life. And we're going to be with Him forever one day because we have trusted Him as our Savior. Do you know Him as your Savior today? If not, may I invite you to trust Him right now. Ask Him to come into your heart. Trust Him. He is God. He is the Savior, and He wants to save you today. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That word "whosoever" means you. If you've never trusted Him, there's good news. You can be saved today by trusting Jesus Christ. Ask Him to save you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.